traveling, visiting with family and friends. How many of you went shopping on Black Friday? Anybody go shopping on Friday? A lot of people. It's going to be a very busy season between now and Christmas, isn't it? Lots to do. We all get caught up in buying presents and making plans and preparing meals, and all of that is good. Most of it's good, but you can get tired. It's a very busy season. There was a newspaper that was carrying an article, an advertisement about a school that was buying a copying machine, and an appeal went out to the community to help the school buy their copying machine. But there was a typo, a mistake, in the newspaper, and the paper left out the why in the word.
Copy machine.
And so what they actually said in the newspaper, the school was buying a coping machine. Coping meaning somehow we've got to get help to get through this time. And maybe that's what we need for this season, a coping machine. But you know what? In Jesus Christ, we don't have to just cope. We can conquer through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And so today, what I want us to do is think about this season of the year and what God is saying to us through it, that we might really understand the powerful meaning of the season. You know, it's such an important spiritual time of year, Christmas. And centuries ago, leaders of the Christian church decided that there need to be a few weeks of preparation for Christmas. That you just shouldn't wake up on December the 25th and celebrate Christ's birth that day only, but that you need to get ready for something that is such an important event in the world. And so they developed the idea of Advent. I'm sure you've heard that word before. That word means coming to. It is a time when we focus on the coming of Christ to earth as he was born of the Virgin Mary. And for centuries, the church has celebrated four Sundays of Advent before Christmas. And so these Sundays are meant to prepare us spiritually for the wonder of Christ's birth on December 25. So the four Sundays of Advent this year are December 1, today, December 8, December 15, and December 22. Then we will celebrate Christmas. So today is the first Sunday of Advent. Christians around the world are focusing together on preparation for the great event of Christ's birth. To help us do that, I would like for us to focus today on Joseph. His story is a very interesting, though short, story. And you have just read that scripture out of Matthew 1. So I encourage you to open your Bible or look at your bulletin at Matthew 1 as we look together at very important issues concerning Joseph. There are important things that Joseph can teach us. And yet, Joseph is what we could call the silent character of Christmas. He is often not given much attention because a lot of focus is on Mary and on Jesus. But sometimes Joseph, we don't hear much about him. In fact, he could be called the silent character of Christmas. He is only mentioned in the birth narratives of the Gospels and when he and Mary were with Jesus at age 12 in Jerusalem. And yet, Joseph plays a very vital role in what God was doing for us through Jesus Christ, his son. So Joseph doesn't get a lot of promotion. He doesn't get a lot of credit. We've all probably heard the song Ave Maria, Mary, but if you haven't heard a song like Ave Joseph, There's no such song. We don't hear Joseph speak in Scripture. He's the silent character. And yet, Joseph was of the line of Abraham and David. And the angel greets Joseph and says, Joseph, son of David. Therefore, Joseph is a very important part of the Christmas story. I'd like for us to see two important things about Joseph's life. And on the sheet of paper that I handed out to you, sermon notes, the first one is when difficult things happen to you, which you do not understand and cannot control, trust God, be faithful, and do His will. All of us have things in our lives at times that we can't control. Some things we don't want sometimes happen to us. It might be we get sick, or we have to have surgery, or finances are difficult for us, or relationships don't go well, and so we have things that are difficult. And when we can't control that, we don't want that, we have to look at our brother Joseph and find some help. And when we look at him, we see one who trusted God, who reacted in faith and sought to do God's will. You know the story of Joseph. He was betrothed to Mary. Now, what is betrothal? Well, it's kind of like engagement. And yet, betrothal was a formal connection, a formal relationship between a man and a woman. And it could only be broken or dissolved by divorce. So it was a legal relationship. And he was betrothed to Mary. Can you imagine Joseph's excitement about being married to Mary? Now, the betrothal period usually lasted 1 year. So can you imagine how Joseph, through that year, was so excited about marrying Mary? He had dreams of their future. He had hopes of what they together could do and how they would live their lives as faithful people of God. Can you imagine how difficult it must have been for Joseph to hear Mary say that she was expecting a child, to know that he was not the father? Now, Jewish law provided for a rather severe punishment for someone who was, for a woman who was unfaithful to her betrothed husband, stoning. It could have been a very, very difficult and tragic time for them. But the angel came to Joseph in a dream and asked him to accept something he had not planned for, something he couldn't fully understand, something he didn't want to accept, but he reacted in faith. Look at what he did as you look together with me at Joseph's dream encounter with God there in verses 20 and 21. It says, the angel came to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, have no fear of taking Mary as your wife, because that which is in her body is of the Holy Spirit. And then later we see verse 24. And Joseph did as the angel of the Lord had said to him, and took her as his wife. And he had no connection with her till she had given birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus, as the angel had told him. That is a very, very difficult thing to do, isn't it? It's interesting. In Matthew chapters 1 and 2, there are 5 angel encounters between God and his messenger angel and Joseph. 5 times in chapters 1 and 2 of Matthew. And in all 5 times, Joseph reacted in faith and was ready to say yes to what God was asking him to do. Look with me at those 5 dream encounters for just a moment. Matthew 1, verse 20, we have already read. Matthew 1, verse 20. And then look with me at chapter 2, verse 12. They were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. They returned to their country by another route. In verse 13, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt and stay there till I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt. Then verse 19 of Luke, of Matthew chapter 2, Matthew 2 verse 19. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. Verse 22. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee up north, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. So in all five instances, God, through an angel, spoke to Joseph in a dream. And Joseph then agreed to do what God wanted him to do. And he took Mary and the baby and went on routes that Joseph had never planned. This was not what he had in his plans for his life. But God asked him to do the difficult thing, and Joseph said yes. He can really help us there, can't he? Because sometimes we have to do difficult things. Sometimes things happen we don't understand. Sometimes we ask God, why? But I hope we'll remember Joseph, who faithfully said yes every time God came to him in a dream. Do you dream very much? Do your dreams sometimes, after you think about them, they're kind of crazy, they don't make sense? Well, a lot of study has been made of dreams. And a book has been written about dreams. And in that book, it said that most of the time when people have dreams, our focus is on what does it mean for us? How can we be helped by what we dream? In the Bible, however, when there are dream encounters between God and people, the focus is not on the one who is dreaming. The focus is on what is God saying to that person through the dream. And so that is certainly true here in Joseph's life. Joseph dreamed, and God spoke to him in that way, and Joseph then did what God wanted him to do. So, the first thing I want us to remember about our brother Joseph is that he was ready to do what God called him to do, though he did not understand it, and though it did not fit into his plans, he was willing and ready to serve the Lord. Have you ever heard beautiful music from Handel's Messiah? Probably we've all heard that. Beautiful, beautiful music. You'll hear it probably several times in this season of the year, and it thrills me every time I hear it. Let me tell you a little bit about Handel. In 1741, George Friedrich Handel was ready to give up. His health was shattered. His right side was paralyzed. He could barely manage to hold his pen as he wrote his music. His money was gone. Creditors threatened him with imprisonment. He got so depressed, he almost took his life. And then he began to simply wait on the Lord and pray and do what he could to serve the Lord. Handel's faith is what sustained him at a time when he really didn't understand why things were happening the way they were. He sat down and began to write this beautiful music with the arias and choruses that have enriched our lives. So the next time you hear Handel's Messiah, remember that beautiful music came from a man who was really struggling. But in the midst of his struggle, things that he didn't understand and could not control, he began to faithfully use the gift that God had given to him. We can do the same. I hope throughout this season and throughout the coming year, when things don't go well for you, when you don't understand what's happening, I hope that you'll respond in faith, as did Joseph long ago. The second thing I want us to see about Joseph's life is his willingness to venture forward in God's will, to act on what he perceived God to be calling him to do. So the point that I want us to remember about Joseph is, number two, when God speaks to you, his word calls you to venture faithfully for him and to boldly serve him out of that calling. That word venture is an important word. We don't use it a lot, V-E-N-T-U-R-E. It means to go in the direction of God's will, even if it involves some risk. It's a commitment to say yes to God, even though it's going to cost you something. Venturing. So what we have here is the voice and the venture. God speaks to Joseph, and Joseph acts. It's voice and venture. Perceiving that God is saying something to your life about his will for you, and then your desire to go in that direction, no matter what the cost, as you perceive and fulfill God's will for your life. As I mentioned a while ago, Joseph was of the lineage of Abraham and David. And if you remember Abraham's life, remember how Abraham ventured for God? Remember how Abraham, who was living in what we now call Iraq, he perceived that God was calling him to go toward the west, thousands of miles, to what we now call the Holy Land. And Abraham and Sarah both responded with faith. They ventured in the direction of God's will. And you know the rest of that story. They didn't ever return home because God had called them to venture to that place. Joseph is in that line. Joseph, likewise, moved in that direction to say yes to God's call. What about you? What about me? What about this church? Are we going to be venturing followers of Christ in the coming days? How about this congregation? Are you going to be a venturing church as you listen to the voice of God and as you move in the direction of his will for you? Whatever that will might be, here in this community or around the world, the voice and the venture. How do you respond to that? How will this church respond to that? It's very important for us to say yes to God. Even though we might have plans made, be open to what God might say to you as an individual, as a couple, as a family, as a congregation, so that you can say yes to whatever God is calling you to do. It's very important for us to get self out of the way so God can be Lord of our lives. Someone once said that the cross is actually a capital I crossed out. That the cross is God's way of saying, I need to be Lord of your life. We live in a self-centered world. There's a lot of focus on I, me, me, me. And yet the cross reminds us when Jesus came, he wasn't focused on himself. He is the one who came to serve, not to be served. And he gave himself, body and blood, for you and for me. Remind yourself each day, in this season of the year when our focus often is on what are we going to get for Christmas, I hope our focus in this season is how can we give ourselves more fully to the one who gave himself fully for us. As I close, I just want to remind you of the two names of Jesus that we see in the scripture today. They are very important. I want you to see that. So notice verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, for he will give his people salvation from their sins. So one name of the child is Jesus. Jesus is the one who saves. He saves us from our sins. He saves us from our selfishness. He saves us for a purpose of doing the will of God in your life. Jesus. But what's the other name? It's first found in Isaiah the prophet. Do you see it? What is the name? Verse 23. Emmanuel.
Emmanuel.
Does anybody know what that word means? God with us. And as you know, Hebrew goes from right to left. We usually read English left to right. God with us.
God with us. That is who He is.
So I hope that you remember who He is. He is the one who died on the cross to save us from our sins. He is the one who came to be with us so that we would never be alone, so that we would always know that our lives are connected with God. And therefore, throughout this season, throughout this year, throughout the rest of your life, give yourself fully to the one who gave Himself fully to us. He is the one who saves us from our sins. He is the one who is with us and will never forsake us. Praise God. Let us pray. Thank you, O God, for the gift of your Son, Jesus. He truly is Savior. He truly is Lord. Help us, Father, to say thanks to you for the gift of your Son, for the salvation that we experience through our faith in Him. Thank you, Father, that He is Emmanuel. He is the one who is with us. Truly, God with us. Help us, Father, to experience your holy presence with us every moment of every day and night. May we always be found doing your will, celebrating your grace, and giving you praise and glory. Through Christ our Lord, we pray.